Revolutionary talk for revolutionary times. Liberty Talk FM.
It's a marvelous night for a moon dance with the stars up above in your eyes. A fantabulous night to make romance neath the cover of October skies. You know the leaves on the trees are falling to the sound of the breezes that blow. You know I'm trying to please to the calling.
What's up, everybody? Welcome aboard to the Bubba Show. Todd Bubba Horowitz with the goddess of grains, Angie Setzer, also the vice president of grains at Citizens Elevator. Angie Setzer, are you Debbie Downer or are you Susie Sunshine today?
I am Susie Sunshine. I'm always Susie Sunshine. Just sometimes Susie Sunshine's covered in clouds. So, but today I'm Susie Sunshine. So that's... I'm ready to talk all of the good things in the world today.
And why are you Susie Sunshine today? I know why, but let's tell the listeners why you're Susie Sunshine today.
Well, we have the market. I mean, we talked a week ago, right, in the market. Corn and wheat especially were on the low end of their recent trading range. And everyone was giving all of the reasons why corn should go down and wheat should trade to zero and all of this. And you and I had a conversation and talked about... you know, the fact that there were a lot of things that were positive for grains, and here we are. We're back up. Actually, Dees Corn just put a new high in this morning for the contract, I believe. And May corn, spot corn, outpaced last year's high for the entire year. So, you know, it's always nice when your customers have the ability to lock in profitability. And so for me, you know, my customers are able to actually be planting and planting into a strong market structure. And so it makes them much happier. And when they're happy, I'm happy.
And of course, they should be happy. And of course, I had my people today roll up and lock. I'm still using July, but we locked in 390, yep. 391. Basis July corn. And what the heck? Yeah. I mean, you know, and we still have every opportunity. See, the difference with what you and I both do is if it goes to 450, my guys are getting 450. Okay. They're not locked in at anything. They can hedge their entire crop if they want. They can overhedge it if they want, because they're going to be, if it goes up, they're going to get paid. And if it goes up too far and they can't deliver all of it, then they're just going to lose on the spread that they put on. But they have no naked option. They have no restriction that says they have to sell. So they're in it. Yeah. And if we get a big market, and it looks like, to me, it looks like the makings of a big market. What do you think?
Oh, I agree. Yeah, I think there are a lot of factors into this market structure that have yet to be, you know, thrown into the mix. And so everyone's just really been trading on these two markets, wheat and corn specifically, as oh, we have too much, or we're overwhelmed, or we're burdensome supplies, yada, yada, yada. Well, you know, so the prices have been cheap. Well, the cheap prices have encouraged usage, and they've also discouraged increases in production across the world. And so now we're starting to see, you know, our chickens come home to roost, so to speak, in the sense that we've reduced plantings. You know, corn plantings are down. It's the first year right now, based on USDA expectations, that we'll see more soybeans than corn planted since 1983. And 1983 was an interesting year because it had a lot to do with government programs and set aside and stuff like that, which was why corn acres were down so much that year. And so there's a lot of things globally taking place. We've got a drought developing in Brazil. Their second crop corn is the crop that they rely on for exports and extra supply. And right now they're looking at dry conditions. There's some areas that have seen 0% of their average rainfall throughout the month of April. Typically, the dry season doesn't start until June. So what that tends to mean for Brazilian corn, the second crop corn is planted in February. It tends to receive quite a bit of rain, you know, February, March, April, May. That's through the entire process of the growing season. Right now, we're heading into pollination and things like that. So it tends to see good amounts of rain, and then the rain shuts off just in time for the corn crop to be harvested, which is also helpful to quality and things like that. Well, this year the rain has shut off, you know, nearly 2 months earlier than normal. So if you see a significant reduction in Brazilian corn second crop outlook, you have an incredibly large reduction in global supply availability. And so that's huge, because really there's three world markets, you could say, for three suppliers for the world market. Brazil, which we just talked about. Argentina, which of course has been talked about all winter long because they had a significant drought, a historical drought that reduced soybean production and, of course, reduced corn production. And you have the U.S. The U.S. that has been working under the guise of burdensome stocks for so long has had a somewhat delayed spring planting season. Not one that you would say would reduce acreage, but one that will not encourage an increase in acreage at this point in time. And so you take away supplies from South America and suddenly the U.S. becomes your chief supplier. And that's what we're seeing. I mean, today you saw export sales at a fantastic, you know, export inspections, excuse me, what we loaded on boats to ship out at a very high level, 1.6 million metric ton, which is a significant amount, over 50 million bushel of corn. So we're starting to see that happen. Export sales are good. It looks as though the USDA will have to reduce carryout in their next report. You combine the reduction in old crop carryout with the reduction in new crop acres, and we get a weather hiccup of any kind, real or imagined, and, you know, we're off to the races, like you said. So there's a lot of things, you know, from a setup standpoint that tell me that corn, you know, I wouldn't be the least bit surprised to see these corn hit 450 this year at all.
Me neither.
And our orders are set up accordingly.
And the USDA should be carried out on a stretcher, though, not any other way. I mean, they don't do any good. They're worthless. But, you know, so again, now my concern still lies, I think, the same as yours, which is in soybeans. I they've been good, and I think they may take the contract highs out. But even on Monday, they were a little bit weak. With the strength of corn and wheat, and you know, I don't know. If we get a big market, they're all going up, right? You agree with that, correct?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So
yeah. I mean, they can separate. I mean, you could see soybeans, you know, see decidedly bearish fundamentals, but that can't happen until you're in, you know, you're sure A, what's been planted. You know what I mean? So we get into June 30th and bean acres, if they do rise to that 92, 93 million acres or something like that, that people were scared of in the March report, that, you know, the reduction coming in well below that ended up being bullish for the market structure for a minute. You know, if we saw that and then saw good weather, but you're looking at, you know, beans really can't break away and trade off from decidedly bearish fundamentals for quite some time yet. You know, you've got too many unknowns in the market, and it's obviously too sensitive to tiny moves in the global market structure to really see them break away. So, yeah, you could definitely see beans trade higher for no other reason other than everything else has got some strength. And obviously commodities are back to being, you know, a somewhat popular purchase when it comes to outside investors. So that's beneficial too to us from an overall standpoint.
No, 100%. That's, listen, you know, you weren't born when I first started trading soybeans. And I remember trading soybeans. I remember selling them at 450. Okay.
Yeah.
So go back to days when they were 450, 350, and 250. All right. That was the prices of grains. And of course, obviously, at one point, and only within, you know, again, I always lose track of time because I'm old, but it's only in the last 5 or 10 years that November beans ever traded over $8. Okay. So we've always had the talk, you know, always was beans in the teens and that was it. But of course, there's a lot going on. And I think there's a lot going on in the markets. And I think we have a lot more to talk about the potential trade wars, because as I said, and I think you agreed that it was bunk anyways, but we're with the goddess herself. And that is Angie Setzer. And she's also the vice president, the VEEP of Citizens Elevator. And we're going to step out of here for a break. But in the meantime, don't forget to download the show every day so you get to hear Angie and her, especially when she's Susie Sunshine and not Debbie Downer. And of course, don't forget to get Bubba's Daily Update, which is available to you for free. All you have to do is go to bubbatrading.com and the little box pops up and you can fill it out and you get tomorrow's newspaper today. And of course, don't forget our high school investing program, which you can help us out at patreon.com/BubbaTrading. And we will be back with more from the goddess, and we'll get more on what's going on in a lot of the other commodity markets, because for some reason, the dollar is not having a major effect. We'll be right back with more from Angie Setzer, the goddess of grains, the Bubba Show. Todd Bubba Horowitz will be right back. Welcome back to the Bubba Show. Todd Bubba Horowitz with the goddess herself, Angie Setzer, the goddess of grains. All right, Angie. So, you know, as we went to break, we were talking about, you know, what was going on. And, of course, the markets are running up. And so now what about where's the trade wars? What's wrong? What's going on here? I don't understand. Tell me. It's for romper room. Tell me what's going on with the trade wars.
We've talked about it quite a bit, the media narrative or the narrative that's out there, and even the narrative that came from, you know, checkoff groups, which, you know, in the ag industry, there are what they call checkoff groups, soybean checkoff, corn checkoff, wheat checkoff, different associations. You'll see, you know, American Soybean Association, and you'll see all of this, and all of these agents or heads of these programs have constantly, even them, have been constantly telling us, you know, all of the terrible things that will come from tariffs and all of the terrible things that will come from trade wars. And you know, and that's their job. Their job really is to look out for their quote unquote constituents, I guess you would call them, because the checkoff dollars or the checkoff groups are funded by, and I think I've explained it before, but they're funded by when a farmer sells a bushel of grain, the elevator it sells to, he sells to, is required to take a penny or take a percentage, like soybeans are a half a percent of gross income from soybean sales, and it goes to this checkoff group. So these people are basically indirectly paid by farmers to be their cheerleader, to protect them, to look out for their best interests. So when all of these tariff wars were announced, everywhere you turned was an ag industry leader, and I use the term loosely, telling
a piece of crap, a piece of crap lobbyist. Let's just put it how it is. I'll say it my way.
I mean, that's what they are, to a certain extent. I mean, I have some friends in the industry, so I have to be careful. But yeah, they're lobbyists. And so their job is to, of course, speak out against anything that could be potentially harmful or viewed as potentially harmful. So you had these people talking about how terrible it was. You had people, you know, asking me in interviews, well, do you think we should walk tariffs back? And then acting surprised when I'm like, no, that's the dumbest thing we could do at this point in time. You know, like I'm supposed to toe the company line, I guess you could say. But, you know, they grouped together with a lot of media sources that obviously, let's call a spade a spade. They want Trump to fail. I've never denied the fact that I've never really been a huge fan of our president, you know, in the sense of some of the things he's said and some of the things he's done and the way he goes about things. But obviously it's working. I mean, granted I could eat my words another 6 months or so, but apparently, you know, we have been, for a heck of a better term, I don't even know if I can say it, but as my dad and grandpa used to say, we've been pussyfooting around for quite some time where we wring our hands and we don't want to upset anyone. And we're so worried about, you know, how to be, you know, properly communicate our needs and our ideals and this, that, and the other thing. And obviously that hasn't been working. It's put us second. It is not, you know, it's allowed people like Kim Jong-un to grow more powerful in their mind and stuff like that. So you can't look at what's going on right now with the communication that we're having with China. And granted, they're going to try. There's nothing that says they can't, they won't cancel a few soybean cargoes. That's been the talk, is that they would cancel their, we'd see cancellation announcements, you know, cancellation announcements are coming. Like that's been an everyday news story for the last 3 weeks, and we've yet to see one. You know, I'm not saying it won't happen tomorrow or whatnot, but you know, when it comes down to it, they really do need our soybeans. Sorghum's a bit different. They have large supplies domestically of corn. They have the capability of going around the tariffs that are set up if they want to. You know, there's all of these other things that they could do. Sorghum is just not as vital to their marketplace. So everyone's saying, well, look at what they did with sorghum. There's nothing stopping them from doing that with soybeans. Well, yes, there is, because Brazil cannot, you know, produce all the soybeans China needs to get.
Well, let me just help. I want you to finish your thought, but I want to just throw in one interjection before you do. Don't you think that the sorghum was just a symbolic move that's trying to show some muscle because they don't really need it and they have a substitute for sorghum?
Yeah, exactly. And so I think that gave them, you know, it gave them the ability basically to see what would happen. You know, hey, we're going to do this. How are they going to react? And obviously, We didn't, you know what I mean? Like, that sellers have found alternative places to sell it. Domestically, we're starting to see ethanol plants in the South. You know, they can use sorghum for things. Feeders can use sorghum. I mean, if China can use it domestically to replace corn, obviously we can too, you know, here in the U.S. So that may not be bullish for corn, but the thing is eventually China is going to chew through their supplies that they have. You see it already with their domestic auctions. The pace and percentage of corn being sold domestically out of government supplies or government reserves in China has picked up exponentially. I mean, for a while there, you could only get 2 or 3% of the corn being offered from the government sold. Last week, it was 89%. The week prior, it was 90-some percent. So there was you're seeing that kind of move. So, you know, to be completely honest, I think we had a lot of hand-wringing. I think we had a lot of people freaking out. And I think, you know, we've got top-level talks happening this week when it comes to China and trade policies. You know, there are some legit things that we can complain about. I mean, the forced intellectual theft that's taking place. You know, if you want to avoid, and I'd read a really interesting article about it, and I won't pretend to be an expert, but if you want to avoid the import tariffs that the Chinese have on so many products, you have to open basically a manufacturing facility in their country, which allows you to also, you know, or requires you to also share all of your, you know, what would be privileged information with whomever's running that plant, which, you know, and they have to be Chinese. So you're basically giving away, you know, all of your knowledge when it comes to building, processing, growing, you know, whatever it may be. And that's forced. You know, there's things like that that are taking place that not a lot of people have talked about, and they obviously need to be addressed. We've allowed China to function as a developing country for far too long. They still are classified as a developing country, which gives them certain benefits that other developed countries don't receive. That's something, too. So, I mean, there's a lot of things where we finally have to put our foot down. Did I agree with it? No. Did I agree with how it was done? No. But obviously, it's working to a certain extent. I can tell you, if we go back in time, and I'm gladly willing to eat crow, and we're a long way from it being finalized, but the North and South Korea thing, I definitely didn't think we were handling that properly. Either did, you know, really anyone, and except for a lot of diehard Trump supporters.
Me, I thought it was right, and I think he did the right thing all the way across the board. And you and I talked about it that particular morning after they may have had that big, everybody was wiping their brow. It was going to, the end of the world was coming. And of course, geez, we're only 20% higher. And geez, what a shock. Go ahead. I'm sorry.
Exactly. And so, you know, I have to give you credit, and I have to give him credit, you know, and I think that's one thing right now that I'm frustrated with, is that people are refusing to give credit where credit is due. I was also not an Obama fan, but when he made moves that I agreed with, I could also admit that they were good moves, you know, and so same to be said. So could the trade war still cause issue? Could we run into a situation where things could get ugly? Sure. You know what I mean? You could see a further encouragement towards Brazil's growing, you know, bean sector. But at the same time, you got to take into consideration, it's not just trade wars. Their currency is trading at a substantial low in the face of a significant futures rally, as well as a basis rally. So the Brazilian farmer is seeing the best bean price he's seen since 2012. It's not the tariff or the trade war talk that's encouraging him to increase bean acres. It's money. You know, so there's a lot of things that people could say, oh, well, now we're encouraging the Brazilian farmer to increase production capacity. That's going on, you know, whether we had a trade war in place or not. You know, that is plain and simple. And that's part of the market structure. That's what happens when you have beans, you know, at 1050 and remaining lofty and all of these other things that are going on. So yeah, I think that there was a lot of hand-wringing, you know, and you and I spoke the day after the Chinese tariffs were floated against beans and the bean market was down nearly limit for a minute. And I did say that day, hey, we jumped out of the airplane. You know, now we got to figure out if our parachute works or not. And obviously at this point in time, here we are, you know, almost a month later. Obviously, it's working to a certain extent, so we've just got to kind of let it continue to play out. NAFTA.
Hold it. We'll get NAFTA when we get back from the break. This is Angie Setzer, the Goddess of Grains. This is The Bubba Show. Don't forget to download it every day at libertytalk.fm, and we're going to step out here for a break, and we'll be right back with more. She's on a roll. Angie Setzer, the Goddess of Grains, the Vice of the Grains, the Tennis Elevator, The Bubba Show. Todd Boris will be right back. What's up, everybody? Bubba here. It's finally here. The long-awaited Bubba Report, bringing you news from all the trading floors across the globe. We've got Scott Cialdini, the cow guy, as seen on CNBC, Fox, and Bloomberg. We've got Keith Bliss, CNBC, Fox, and a floor trader at the New York Stock Exchange. We've got The Badger, who writes the hot topics in the political news. We've got myself putting together my own unique indexes that will help you, give you a better idea of what's going on in the market. All you need to do to get a hold of the Bubba Report is go to thebubbashow.org and sign up for the newsletter, or you can email me direct at bubba@thebubbashow.org. We want you to have this report because we've got over 150 years of experience talking about markets, getting ready for the trading, and puts you in the best position to have successful. So email me at bubba@thebubbashow.org to get a copy of your report, or go right to the website, thebubbashow.org. Make sure you get it. It's a must-have for every investor and trader. The Bubba Report. Welcome back to the Bubba Show. Todd Bubba Horowitz with Angie Setzer, the goddess of grains on Twitter. And make sure you tweet at her all the time. And, of course, also the vice president of grains at Citizen Elevator. All right, so you were getting into NAFTA before I had to so rudely had to interrupt you.
Yeah, no. That's everyone was it's been wringing their hands that we were going to walk away from NAFTA and that, you know, all heck was going to break loose when that happens. And we were going to lose all of these pork exports and all of this and Brazil, Mexico was going to be buying Brazilian soybeans, and you still see it where it's like Brazilian soy imports are up 900%, from into Mexico. Well, last year their soy imports were like one bushel, and that was accidental, a bag of seed or something got stuck on a train. So it's really easy, make a headline out of something that is not out of the ordinary, So there's a lot of things that are happening behind the scenes that I think are good, from someone who is used to seeing more diplomacy enacted, it is hard to look at. But obviously the market itself doesn't necessarily think, the administration and the people that are a part of it. Sometimes when it comes to negotiation, you've been in the business, you've been in industry, I've been in industry. Sometimes the best thing you can do in negotiation is walk away. And so we've done that. We've done all kinds of things that aren't, what you would say typical for politics here, maybe over the last 50 years or so. But, right now I would say they're working. So I have to give credit where credit is due. I'm still not necessarily a fan of tactics, you could say, but I'm definitely not going to, I'm not going to be one that says we have to walk away from what we've already started, because walking away from what you started in negotiation, or bending over backwards or doing, going against what your initial intent is the worst thing you can do, because then you make yourself vulnerable. And that's being in a point of vulnerability is a terrible place to be.
Yeah. So, well, you don't have to like Trump and you don't have to like what he does, the way he does things. But you are very typical of the average person, and this is not the way we do it. This is not presidential, blah, blah, blah. And again, okay, fine. But I've said for years that I want to see a businessman in the White House, and because the biggest business in the world is the United States of America, and it should be run like a business. And I'm really pissed off at the way that they are able to print money, even though that's done by a private organization, but their way they're able to print money, the way they're able to go over budget. I mean, if you and I went over budget, we'd be in jail. Or in bankruptcy court, one of the two. So to me, I want a businessman in there, and you can see how much he is hated because all these guys who have been stealing money for all these years are no longer getting the opportunity to steal money. But my real question is you're against Trump, not against Trump. You don't like him, which is fine. And there's nothing wrong with that. I guess I say it all the time. I don't care who you like or who you don't like. But you are an American citizen and you want him to succeed. As much as you might not like him, you still want him to succeed. Is that not correct?
Yeah. Yes. And I should add a very important addendum to my conversation. I don't like any politician.
Right. No, and it doesn't matter.
It's not, It's not it's not a Trump thing in particular. It's a politician thing for one, but
he's not a politician. So he's not a politician. Again, I don't care. Again, and I'm not mad that you don't like him. It doesn't matter to me. Again, I think that in America, we're Americans. We get to vote and choose anybody we want, and we can like anybody we want. But when it comes down to it, now you've got assholes like George Soros and his group that are putting up another $50 million to get more stuff on the Russian dossier, okay, trying to get trying to find more dirt. Now, they've been trying to find dirt on Trump for 4 years, haven't done any. But these are the kind of people that would rather would get in a plane, and because they didn't like the pilot, they'd rather have the plane crash with them in it versus trying to make that sure they get there. And this is what really bothers me about the whole situation, is that we as Americans shouldn't, whether you like, you know, the president is in office. It's not one man. It's one man who can pass, or woman, that can be there for 8 years. Mm-hmm. After that, it's on to the next group. So what we should all want is we should want the America to do, to be great again, and to be the leader, which we are, instead of the sissies or the pussies that you put out there, that we've been for the last 50 years or longer. Okay, I don't know if there's been a, I don't know if there's been a president that's had any stones since Kennedy. Okay, and then, of course, he got killed because of it. So, but my point is that this is the time that we have to say, okay, we want the country to succeed. We may not like him, we may not like the way he does things, but at the end of the day, we're all citizens, and we want the country to be better. Would you agree with that?
Yeah. That was my take when Obama was president. That's my, you know, that's my take now. And you know, believe me, I was far from, you know, a fan of the Obama administration and the people that were a part of it and things like that. I mean, I in 2008, you know, to me, politics was a sport, a full contact sport. I spent a lot of time, you know, in learning a lot of about all of the things, all of the pieces of the administration, all of this, that, and the other thing. And I quickly realized that it didn't mean a whole lot, simply because it was going to happen. You know, you can try to fight it, you can try to communicate, you can try to do anything, but the fact of the matter is I am a full, you know, hearty supporter of America and making America great again and all of the things that are involved in doing so. And my biggest frustration at this point in time comes from those who are Trump detractors, you know, at no matter the cost. You know, you can't give a guy credit when credit is due, and so I think that's a big struggle right now. I think even in the ag industry, a lot of people assume that you know, old Trump, the farmers voted for Trump to their own detriment. I've sat in a lot of farmer groups that were not Trump supporters at all, did not vote for him, were not going to vote for him ahead of the election, you know, all of these things. And so I think that is a fallacy that needs to be removed. But I also think, you know, for sure that everyone out there who is an American citizen, at least that I talk to, who's a part of rural America and who is, you know, invested in this country, wants the same thing, which is us to be, you know, able to build enterprise. The American dream still exists, you know, and all of these things. And so, you know, to me right now, like I said, you got to give credit where credit's due. I think the trade idea, the trade war idea, obviously is starting to dissipate from conversation. At least I'm seeing the articles slow down, you know, from a 17 a day to two or three a day, maybe. And so that's much better. That was annoying. I couldn't stand it for a while. And I, you know, I had a Canadian come to me one time and say, well, you better get used to it because this is the dumbest thing you guys could do. Well, I haven't heard from them in 3 weeks, you know, so obviously
not so dumb.
I don't necessarily need to get used to it. Yeah.
It's not so dumb. We're trying to do things. In the meantime, corn's only up 30% since the election in 2016. So throughout all the troubles, corn's up 30%. That's the only number I can look at. That's the only thing that makes any sense, right? I mean, at the end of the day, as you said earlier, it comes down to money. Life comes down to two things, and one of them's money, and that's what we have. And we've got higher prices in the stock market. We've got higher prices in the grain markets. We've got higher prices everywhere. So if you remember, right before Trump got elected, cattle was at $95. Okay, it's not much higher now, but it was at $95. So here we are. Everything is starting to work better, and we're starting to get some stuff going. And North Korea and South Korea may get together. Maybe it's just a smokescreen. We never know that, but at least they're talking. So if you're talking to somebody, you have a chance for something to happen, right?
Yeah. Yep.
So
exactly. As long as you're communicating, there's always a way that you can make, you know, you can. Communication is key. Unless it's you're being held hostage from a communication standpoint, and then it's best to walk away. But at this point in time, obviously we're communicating. We're going to see the U.S. talk. And you know, I said that I saw a headline this weekend, you know, obviously everyone did, if you were paying attention, that North Korea will, you know, basically denuclearize their society, they say, if the U.S. promises not to attack. So obviously, you know, there was that explosion in the mountains there at some point that you didn't really hear a whole lot about. And the rumblings were that someone had basically completely decimated the bulk of their nuclear research facility and all of these things. Because you saw that article about the cloud of radioactivity or nuclear activity that was in parts of Russia there in September or so. And the talk was that came from, basically an implosion. It killed their top people, all of this stuff. And it never really hit the mainstream media, it seemed. Well, apparently we did something because, granted, it could be a smokescreen, but at this point in time, it does appear as though they want to try to reopen communication. And that could be huge for everyone from an import standpoint. Imagine if North Korea were to determine that they want to start behaving in a, you know, similar to their neighbors to the south. Think of the imports that would open. I mean, I'm cheerleading that more than anything for the people of North Korea and for, you know, what would happen if we were to see an entirely new market open up to.
Because they'd actually get to eat because you've ever seen them. They look like they're all anorexic. So it would be nice to see them get some food, right? Yeah. I mean, you know, you saw that during the Olympics.
How happy they'd be. I mean, they're already happy as it is because they have to be. I mean, they're forced to celebrate. Imagine how happy they'd be if after that celebration they got to taste steak. You know what I mean?
I'm with you. Look, I'm
something I hope works out, and I'm cheering for the Trump administration and for everyone involved.
You're not cheering for the Trump administration. You're cheering for America, which is what you should be doing. It's America, yeah. And that's the way it goes. And this is the Bubba Show with the goddess herself, Angie Setzer. And, of course, she is the vice president of grains at Citizens Elevator. And don't forget to download the show every single day at libertytalk.fm. We need your help to get to our goal of 1 million downloads a month. So get in there and download that show. And don't forget to get Bubba's Daily Update, which is available to you for free. Every single day, I email a quick video of what I saw during the day and what I expect to see tomorrow. So you're getting tomorrow's newspaper today. And all you have to do is go to BubbaTrading.com to get that. Fill out the form when it comes up. No credit card. It's all free. So go check that out. In the meantime, we're going to step out here for a break. We'll be back with more from Angie Setzer on The Bubba Show. Todd Bubba Horwitz, The Bubba Show. We're coming right back to you after the break. I settle on down. Welcome back to the Bubba Show. Todd Bubba Horwitz with the goddess of grains, Angie Setzer, also the vice president of grains at Citizens Elevator, the Veep. All right, before I get back to the business, I got to ask you one question. I don't know if you've read or heard anything about the correspondence dinner in Washington over the weekend, where they had the comedian, what's her name? Wolf, Michelle Wolf, I think her name is, the moron. Yeah. Moron Michelle, I'll call her. Who totally obliterated Sarah Huckabee Sanders with how she looks, and she's fat, and wanted Kelly Conway underneath a tree, and I always and I say, have we really stooped to the fifth grade level of moronic behavior from these people? And I just want to get your thoughts. I mean, you being a woman, I mean, not that it's just a woman thing, but I mean, this is pretty nasty. And I don't understand why anybody would do that to anybody, especially at this type of a dinner. What do you think?
Well, you know, to answer the first part of your question of have we stooped to this moronic level, there's a whole group of people out there right now that are cheering for the release of a pee tape. So I think that's all you need to know, honestly. I mean, and we're continuing to Monday morning quarterback how Hillary lost the election. I mean, it's 2 years later now, people. It's time to move on into that. You know, and like I've said, or I think I've claimed over and over again, I am not necessarily a partisan person. I'm really not. I'm, you know, socially liberal, fiscally conservative. I don't really assign myself to one group.
You're a libertarian. You assign yourself who you belong. Yeah. You're a libertarian. That's who you assign yourself to. Assign yourself. Go ahead. It's okay. We're both libertarians. I get it.
I am. I'm a libertarian. I'm a bleeding heart libertarian. So that's one thing that I am, and I will say that. And I won't necessarily. So I can kind of look at both, Republican and Democrats and be like, oh my gosh, or liberals and conservatives, I think is the new buzzword. But I'm not surprised. Conservative women have been targets of nasty rhetoric for a long, long time. And I'm not going to say that liberal women haven't been on the opposite extent. But if you're a conservative woman, obviously you're dumb. I mean, that's just the general consensus from any of my what you call extremely liberal friends. If you lean conservative in any way, shape, or form, you're, you know, it's because of your spouse. You know, there was that idea here recently that women only voted the way that their spouse did or how their husbands told them to or something like that. And so it's not surprising. You know, Sarah Huckabee Sanders, I think highly of, you know, simply in the sense that, that she stood in there and she is able to think on her feet. And everyone will say that she's lying for the president or whatever it may be. You know, but she came out and said the next day about the war on women. You know, the war on women is something that, that liberals are always championing or you know, saying is a true thing. And they'll sit and attack any woman that's close to the president. And that's accurate. Any conservative woman, any woman close to the president is obviously too stupid to know better is kind of the general idea. And so I think she handled it with grace. You know, there was a conversation that she should, I think Matt Drudge said she should have got up and walked out. Well, you can't do that. You're giving them what they want. And so she handled it with grace. She handled it with composure, and she did it well. And so I think we've got to give respect to and credit where credit is due. Again, I feel like I've said that 1,000 times, but she's done a hell of a job. And she's a mom. I mean, she's a full-time working mom. I think she has, what, 2 kids?
Yep. She's more than a full-time working mom because she's got, you know how hard it is to be a mother. I mean, you deal with it and you work from home a lot. So
it's the hardest damn job I've ever done, honestly. I mean, I've traded grain. I've done a lot of crap in my day, and being a mom is 20 times harder than that. So, you know, you've got to give respect. And so that's where I get frustrated right now with everything is this idea that decorum and respect for one another has gone entirely out the window. And they'll say that the White House Correspondents' Dinner has turned into somewhat of a roast and it's common and you know, she's just telling jokes and stuff like that. And that's fine. I get it. But I guess I don't see the point of the event then if that's the case.
Look,
I just don't see the need for it.
If you want to turn into a roast and make jokes, that's great. But attacking jokes are never funny. You know, you learned that when you were 2 years old that you know you don't say things to people that you wouldn't want to be said to you. But anyway, in the meantime, let's get back to other business. And you know, the dollar. I said to you a few weeks ago that the dollar was going to explode, and it is now exploding. But again, that's not my point. My point is I don't really believe that the dollar has as great an effect on the grain markets and the commodity markets as it once did, because I think everybody has realized that the dollar is more really just a piece of crap, piece of paper that the Fed and they get to manipulate the prices. You talked about the Brazilian real a little while ago, how cheap it is right now. That's because they've pushed the dollar up. And I think what's really happening is that the Fed is losing control of the dollar, which was their last bastion to keep rates under control. And of course, now the dollar is exploding. And I think it goes to 95. I think it goes higher. I think before the end of the year is at par, but I don't think until it gets past about 95 that the grain producers start having any trouble with it, because I think that's pretty much already baked into the cake that the dollar is going higher. Any thoughts?
No, I agree. Yeah, I think that, you know, grain trading 101, if you go back to, you know, any sort of rudimentary sort of, let's go back to foundation on trading. Well, the first thing they'll tell you is a dollar, you know, makes for a non-competitive export structure. You know, strong dollar means we aren't competitive in exports, blah, blah, blah. The reality is with the world today and grain, you know, production and grain demand and all of these things that are taking place, the dollar is just a tiny factor in a whole host of questions when it comes to making a trade. So, yeah, this idea that the dollar is going to dictate what the market does or what our market structure looks like when it comes to making sales globally or something like that is overblown. People want it to be that easy, you know, and maybe it was that easy prior to the introduction of the trade that we are in, you know, the trade setup that we're in nowadays. I mean, it is a different market structure in commodities than what it was, you know, 20, 25, 30 years ago. For sure. So maybe that's a part of it. But simply when it comes down to it, I mean, a year ago in January, everyone was talking about how we would never export again because our dollar was strong. It was going to get stronger and it was going to stay strong. Well, obviously, you couldn't have gotten any further from the truth because we managed to pick up exports because Brazil had a production issue. the year prior. So, you know, now we're looking at another production issue. We had an Argentina production issue. And global market demand doesn't change just because of strength or weakness in our currency. So maybe they have to pay more. Maybe we have to be a little bit more competitive. Sometimes you might see it more so in basis, you know, what the farmer is getting, you know, at farm level, or what the elevator is getting when after purchasing from the farmer or something like that. But the dollar, from an overall standpoint, I think means very little in today's market structure when it comes to moves higher or lower from a day-to-day basis.
That's why you're the Bubba Show expert, because you understand all that, that it doesn't always have to correlate together at the same time. I mean, that's just, you know, it may eventually correlate, but the grain industry is a supply and demand business. And if somebody ain't got supply and somebody needs it, they're going to buy it, whatever the price is. And does the dollar have a little bit of effect? When the dollar was really trading and there was a free market, then yeah, it could have a little bit of effect. But still, the real could be for free, but if they don't have the product, they can't give it to you. So it doesn't really matter. You've got to come to it. And with the growing population and with everything you've said every time you've been on the show about the growing population and the growing wealth and the growing middle class, people are going to have to buy it. And that's just the way it's going to be. Now, you know, that there is no change to that. And that's just the way markets work. But of course, we have run out of time with our friend Angie Setzer, the goddess of grains, also the vice president of grains at Citizen Elevator. Angie, as always, I thank you.
Well, thanks for having me. Always love the conversation.
This is The Bubba Show. Todd, Bubba Horowitz. And don't forget to download every day at libertytalk.fm so you can hear Angie, because she's on every week at least once. Maybe she'll be on more someday, and we'll try to work that out with her. But right now, you go to libertytalk.fm and download the show. And don't forget to get Bubba's Daily Update, which is free every day. Go to bubbatrading.com and just fill out the box. You get it for free. No credit card, nothing. Just fill it out, and you'll get an update every day. This is The Bubba Show. Todd, Bubba Horowitz. We'll see you back here tomorrow. Everybody have a great day. The Bubba Show. We'll see you back here tomorrow. Good night, everybody.
Revolutionary talk for revolutionary times. Liberty Talk FM.